Take your Bibles, please, and go to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. If you're here at graduation, you know I preached a message, "What Do Young People Really Need?" And a number of things, and if you go to 1 Chronicles 28, you can see those things. Young people need a purpose. They need a pattern, they need provision, they need promise, and they need partners. But I want to focus this morning more, of course, on Father's Day, on fathers. And this, to me, this Psalm 128 is the Father's Psalm. And let me read this as we begin. It says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." Verse 4 says, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Let's go to prayer. Lord, again on this Father's Day we come and bring before you ourselves. Lord, as fathers we come, and I hope today we, as fathers, grandfathers, we examine our investment in our children, our grandchildren, and are renewed again in our purpose to give to the next generation the things that they really need. Lord, we do pray this morning for Kim and her needs, and Lord, she needs to be saved, and she has a lot of health needs, and Lord, we thank you for Joan and Rick and for their care to bring her before the church and ask for prayer, and I know they've been praying for her, and Lord, we pray that you would bless her. Lord, we pray that in this time of difficulty, she'd come to an understanding of the gospel. And Lord, that you'd intervene. Give the doctors wisdom as they care for her, that her cancer might be treated effectively and you might restore her back to health. Lord, we ask, look at your word now. Lord, we ask that you'd use it in our hearts and our lives, touch us and challenge us. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." A number of years ago, I read this psalm and I read that verse. "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." And I thought to myself, you know what? When someone looks at me and looks at my family, that's what I want them to say. "Behold," so look at that. Did you ever see a family that they just caught your eye? I remember years ago, I was going to Canada's Wonderland. And I watched this family, and they're walking as a man and his wife, and I don't know, maybe three, maybe four little ones. And I looked at them, and I just stood and watched. Because they were just a joy to watch. The children were there by their parents, holding hands with their parents. They were maybe 6, 8, 10 years old, and you know, I thought, what a great looking family. Now I know looks can be deceiving. But I wonder, is that our heart's desire, men? "Behold, that thus shall a man be blessed that feareth the Lord." This verse begins like a lot of verses. As the beginning in Psalms, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." But here, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways." Now we get down further in this verse, we know he's under, the psalmist is saying, he's speaking to fathers, because it talks about his children, his wife. "Behold," and verse 4, "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed." You see, there are requirements for the blessing of God. We somehow think that we are deserving of the blessing of God, that God owes us something. Maybe because we think, because we live in North America, that God is obligated to bless us. Maybe we think because we come to church occasionally or on a regular basis, God is obligated to bless us. Maybe we think because we put some money in the offering plate on a regular basis, God is obligated to bless us. But here we see that it says, blessed is everyone that, two things, feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Two things. It's pretty simple. Fear God and walk straight. Fear God and walk straight. Fear is an interesting thing. We fear a lot of things. I told you before, I have a fear of chickens. You're afraid of something. Fears are healthy. A fear of height is a healthy thing. Almost every year on Signal Hill, someone does not have a reasonable fear of heights. They go out on the rocks and they fall down. And it usually does not end well. Sometimes people don't have a fear of the waves and the winds and the ocean. They go down to Cape Spear and they say, it really looks nice from up here. Let me go down on the rocks. And they don't understand the waves are not always the same size. Fear is a healthy thing. Fear God. Look with me over at the book of Mark, chapter 4. We'll come back here in just a minute. The apostles were out with the Lord on the Sea of Galilee. Mark chapter 4 and verse 37. So then there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat in the ship, so it was now full. And he, Christ, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him, and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, notice, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? What were they fearing? They were fearing the winds and the storms. The sea. You know, folks, storms will come into our lives. Over in Job, man's born to troubles, the sparks fly upward. There are going to be storms. In any marriage, there are going to be troubled times. If you're raising children, you know that children, there are going to be storms as you raise children. Have someone say, you know, it's easy to raise children when you're 7, 8, 9 years old. They're 7, 8, 9 years old. Sometimes parents like that, they're experts on teenagers when their children are 7, 8, and 9. But then the children get to be 15, 16, and 17, all of a sudden, they don't spout their expertise too much anymore. When the children start to realize they are individual creatures, there's going to be storms. There's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties. They were in our home. There are going to be times when young people will challenge your authority. There'll be times when they say, I don't understand why I have to. I don't understand why I cannot, and everybody else can. Don't you like that phrase? Everybody else can. Everybody else in the whole world is doing this, and I'm the only one who's not allowed to do this in the whole world. There's going to be storms. Notice. Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? We see in verse 40, they feared the storms. Verse 41, when Christ stilled the storm, they feared Christ more than they feared the storms. They feared God more than they feared the storms. And folks, there are going to come storms. There are going to come troubled times. There are going to be times when we feel like the wind and the waves are washing over us over and over and over again. And they hold a fear for us. But understand, if we fear God, the storms of this life will hold no fear for us. They won't be easy. We see a couple times in Scripture that the apostles are out on the Sea of Galilee and there's problems. But we understand that if Jesus Christ is our guide, if Jesus Christ is, if you will, and I don't mean to be sacrilegious here, in our boat, then the storms of life need not hold any fear for us. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be difficulties at work. There's going to be difficulties with extended family, with brothers, sisters, uncles, cousins. There's going to be problems because of who we are. By the way, you know, stop and think about this. Don't we usually cause most of our own problems? I always like to blame it on everybody else, but usually we cause our own problems. That walketh in his ways. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do we know the ways of God? How do we know where we should walk? The Bible says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As I make decisions, I begin my journey today. I read the word of God. I spend time in the word of God. So I've said before, it takes me 20 minutes to get this good looking on the outside. Some of you say, well, you should have spent a half an hour. But if I have to spend 20 minutes to get the outside ready, shouldn't I spend 20 minutes getting the inside ready? And I go out and I come to a circumstance in life and I have to make a choice. I can go here or I can go here. I say, what does the word of God say? The word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. I get further, 10 o'clock in the morning, I make a choice. And I say, what does the word of God say? I believe the word of God has the answer for every issue of life. It doesn't specifically say this about technology today. I understand that. But David also says, I'll put no evil thing before my eyes. Wicked thing before my eyes. When I was just 18 years old, I was an apprentice iron worker in Michigan, just beginning working in construction. I was working in the Ionia State Penitentiary. It was quite an interesting experience for a young man, just 18 years old. Because we were working inside the walls building a gymnasium. There's one fellow there. I said, what are you in for? He says, you know what? I'm in here for siphoning gas. Can you believe that? For siphoning gas. And because the trustees were around helping us with stuff. And the guy said, yeah. He says, you were sucking gas out of a cop car to put in the car you stole. But I believed him. But I still remember that job was the first time I got up on the steel. And we were putting, they called them purlins, across the trusses that we put up. And I got to the very peak of the building. And I got up there and I looked down and I looked up and the clouds were moving. And I thought I was moving and falling down. And I got a little scared. I called down to the superintendent. I knew him well. He was a neighbor, lived across the road. He'd hired me. I said, Mr. Fredericks, what do I do? He was great help. You'll think of something. You know, I never got over a fear of falling. But in the months and years to come, I learned to walk the steel beams up 30, 50, 80, 100 feet in the air. Beams that wide, no harness. No, we never wore harnesses in those days. You see, I learned to walk straight. If we walk straight, we need not fear. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Verse 2 says, Thou shalt eat of the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with the profitable labor. God has made a man to work. Women work as well. I understand that. We're talking to men today. God has made a man to work. One of the curses of the fall, if we go back to Genesis, are weeds and rocks and thorns and thistles. Those things that come up in the way to make your work unprofitable, to hinder you in what you're trying to do and trying to accomplish. You see, as we fear the Lord and walk in His ways, God says He's going to give us profitable labor. Did you ever get started on something and it was not going right? It did not work? You tried 3 times. You tried 4 times. You got mad and you threw your screwdriver down or whatever it was. And finally, you think, well, you know what? Maybe I ought to pray about this. Maybe I should ask the Lord for help. And you pause and you ask the Lord for help and you step back a minute and you look, and it's amazing how much easier it goes after that. It's happened to me a lot of times. See, God wants our labor to be profitable, but God wants us to fear Him and walk straight. God wants us to make the decision that I'm going to do the things that please God. I'm going to walk in His ways. I'm going to let His Word direct my steps. And my labor will be profitable. One of the few times in the Bible we find this thought, happy. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. We talked about this a little while ago, one of our services. Happy is a result of happenings. Because if we fear God and we walk straight, God will bring the circumstances into our life, the happenings, if you will. Now, things are not always easy. I understand. We talked about, you know, man's born to trouble. But happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Verse 3 has, I guess, instructed me and kind of amused me. Talks about your wife and your children. It says, your wife, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Of course, talking about a grapevine. Now we have to understand that Oriental homes were not as we think of homes today. Most often the Oriental homes, you went in through an entranceway into a courtyard. And off that courtyard, separate rooms opened off that courtyard because it was normally dry, it didn't rain much, and a lot of their living was in the courtyard, and then there were other rooms around the courtyard. And so they would, in that courtyard area, they would plant grapevines. And the vines would grow, and they'd grow up and along the side of the house, and they would, as grapevines can do, they would cling onto where they could to the stonework and so forth, and they would grow. And they would provide in the house, they would provide beauty by their foliage. When they blossomed, they would provide a fragrance from the blossoms of the grapes, and they would provide food. Can you imagine going to your house and just pick a bunch of grapes as you walk in the door and eating grapes as you go around? I'd like that. Maybe we should plant grapes in our house. But it says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. What does that tell us? The gentleman, your wife, gives to your house a beauty that is not there. You ever gone into a bachelor's apartment? A house where a man lived by himself? It's just different. It just really is. I mean, there's no decoration there to speak of. There's no feminine touch to the house. It's really pretty basic. But not only does it give a beauty to the house, it gives a fragrance to the house, to the home. You see, there's something about a woman in a home that gives a beauty and a fragrance that's there that's not available from a man. Not because Women smell better than men. Generally, they do. But I'm talking about the spirit, the atmosphere in the home, and the fruitfulness in the home. You see, God has said that men, think about this. I'm going to make kind of a blanket statement here. Men, we have the wife we deserve. We have the wife we deserve. Now, most of us, if we're honest, would say, I really don't deserve the wife gave me. She's much more than I deserve. But, gentlemen, if you don't feel you have the wife you deserve, maybe you better start fearing God and walking a little straighter. And thy children, on Father's Day, like olive plants round about thy table. And again, this gets us a picture in our Western society. You know, I think of a table. You know, we have a dining room table at our house, and we have 8 chairs around it, and I think about the chairs, and each one of the chairs is a little potted plant sitting there, an olive plant right around the table, and that's what we think about. It really doesn't seem to be too practical a thing. When we think of the olive tree, it gives us a great lesson. Because the olive tree, as it grows and it matures, it does not necessarily multiply itself from the pits of the olives. But often round about that olive tree, call them suckers, will come up from the roots, like some of the softwoods we have. And over here, maybe 10 or 15 or 20 feet out from the tree, a root's near the ground, and you'll see a little tree sprout up from there and over there and over there and over there. And those trees will grow and they will mature. About 10 or 12 years into their growing process, they'll begin to bear fruit themselves. But why does the psalmist say they're children like olive plants round about thy table? I think because there's a great lesson for us with children, that children should be a little independent, but always within reach. The plant was there. It was sheltered by the parent tree from the winds and from the storms that would come. It was there close enough, if you will, for supervision. I don't know if the tree actually talked to the little tree or not, but close enough. Understand the principle? That children like olive plants round about thy table. I heard recently there's a new phrase in child rearing. Free-range children. I found that interesting. I know heard about free-range chickens before. But children, you basically just say, okay, go ahead, roam the community, do what you want. You know, if you make it back for supper, that's fine. You know, maybe you could bag me back here by bedtime. But other than that, just go ahead. And they wonder why they get in trouble. You see, God has made children to need supervision. God has made children need instruction. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Verse 4, again, is the exclamation. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. And then we see the blessings in verses 5 and 6. We see spiritual blessings. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem, civil blessings, all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel, perpetual blessings. What a blessing, what a challenge. As we live, you see the blessings of God upon Mount Pearl, Newfoundland, Canada, is dependent upon the walk and the fear of Christians. That was 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. It's not if we pass legislation or march on Ottawa or sign petitions, but if my people will humble themselves and pray. It was just great news to hear this Friday, if you didn't hear, that the chemists are grandparents. And Mrs. Murphy was just so pleased on Friday night. They had about 7 o'clock or so on Friday morning. They had a little boy, Ruth and Caleb Wolf, and they named him Jerome. Then he's got two middle names and Wolf. And of course, most of you know Jerry Murphy's real name is Jerome, and everybody called him Jerry. I talked to Pastor Chemis a little bit after we got done. We were down in the lunchroom, and I said, you know, this gives you a great responsibility and a great opportunity. You have children's children now to influence. God has blessed you in a great way. Thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. See, folks, men, God wants to bless us. God wants us to be profitable in our work. God wants us to have the kind of home that honors Him. The kind of wife that brings a beauty and fragrance and fruitfulness to our home. The kind of children who are like olive plants round about our tables. God wants us to have the kind of life that we see spiritual blessings and civil blessings and perpetual blessings in our lives. But God says, that really is all up to you. Are you willing to fear God and walk straight? Let's pray together.